The focus of our study this evening will be on light. And in that connection, I would like to read to you from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 8 and proceeding through verse 11 in the New King James Version. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And now our preacher and friend, Bobby Scripture.
Good evening. Great crowd again tonight. Numbers are still up, and that's great. We appreciate all the visitors that are here. In addition to, as Wilson said, the regular folks here, we expect that you'll be here. So good to see you all. Please take your Bibles and turn over there to the Ephesian letter, and if you're not already there. But let me begin by reminding you that there are several ways that the Bible refers to Jesus. He is the bread of life, he is the good shepherd, those kinds of things. But one of the very common themes that John writes about is light. And he refers to Jesus in several ways as being the light. He was in John, the first chapter, as he introduces us to Jesus, he says the life was the light of men. And Jesus himself in John chapter 8, verse 12 said, I am the light of the world. And those references continue to go on, and Paul says, or John continues in his epistle and in the gospel, talking about these things as being a contrast to the world of darkness. And Paul uses the same kind of language here in the Ephesian letter that we're going to look at in just a moment. And the purpose of the light, we are told by John, is to expose the darkness of sin and to illuminate the path that leads to heaven. When Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he is showing us the way and illuminating that path that leads to heaven. And when we become Christians, then it is our obligation, and one of the things that we do is to be a reflector of the light of Jesus Christ. So we are referred to as light bearers or light reflectors. And we are having an inheritance given to us among the saints in the light. And so you begin to see very quickly that the theme of light versus darkness is a theme that must be paid attention to, that it's a contrast between the kind of life that we are to be living and the kind of life that we formerly led. So in our text here, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, notice that Paul begins by saying, you were once darkness. But if you look back up at the previous verses there, Paul talks about these list of things, like in verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. And he continues on for a few more verses. And then in verse 7, he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Well, he's talking about those sinful people that he had listed here in verses 3, and then in verse 5, he says, fornicators, unclean, covetousness, idolaters, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And he's warning them not to be deceived here in one of several ways that he does that here. And he says, don't be deceived by empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of these things or with them. And he says, you were once darkness. And it's interesting that he didn't say you were once in darkness. He said you were once darkness. In other words, we as Christians were once evil. We were sinful and we were darkness. But he says, now you are light in the Lord. And again, he doesn't say we are in the light. He says we are light. We were once darkness, meaning that we were sinful. Now we are light in the Lord and walk as children of light. This is the sixth of, I believe there are seven of these walk statements here in the book of Ephesians. Walk as children of light. So how is it that we can walk as children of light and be light and live in the light of Jesus Christ? Well, again, let's look here in Ephesians 5 and notice these verses again. He says, you were once darkness. Well, darkness is a metaphor for sin, as we've already pointed out. And it's the idea that people feel free to do anything they want, to do any kind of evil they want, and they do it under the cover of darkness. So he says, you were darkness. You participated in these deeds of evil and darkness. And by contrast that, then he will say that we are now light. But you think about the city of Ephesus and the things that were going on here in the city of Ephesus. If you look back in chapter 4 and in verse 17, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Now place your marker here and go back with me to the book of Acts, to the 19th chapter, where Luke, the physician, records for us the things that happened with Paul while he was in the city of Ephesus. And we won't take time. It's most of the chapter here, of chapter 19, is talking about these kinds of things. But look, for example, in chapter 19 and beginning in verse 23. He says there was a great commotion about the way, which is a term that is used here for the Christians. They're called the way. And then we have this man named Demetrius, who is a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, and it brought no small profit to the craftsmen. Well, you're going to see that Demetrius is upset, and he calls together the workers of a similar occupation, and he says, our business is being hurt here because of this fellow Paul. And as it goes on, you will see that he is going to blame Paul, that not only here in Ephesus, but throughout most of Asia, he says that Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying they are not gods which are made with hands. Demetrius is saying, he is saying that the things we make out of silver are not gods. And he's preaching Jesus Christ here. And so there's all kinds of contention that goes on here. And if you notice in verse 28, it says that after Demetrius' speech here, and he's talking about the trade going bankrupt and the temple of the great goddess may be despised and her magnificence destroyed. And when they heard this, in verse 28, they were full of wrath, cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. That's the kind of city that Paul was preaching the gospel in. In a city of darkness. And so he says to these Corinthians, you were once darkness. You were once a part of this. And we go back to, hold your marker there and go back to the book of Ephesians with me, this time to chapter 6. And in verse 12, where Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now we go back to Acts chapter 19, and we look here beginning in verse 11, and we are going to find here that there's another problem here. And it says, there were miracles being worked by God through the hands of Paul, and their handkerchiefs and aprons, and these are the things that Paul is doing. But then notice in verse 13, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus who over those who had evil spirits, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Also there were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, this is part of the crowd that, as we've talked about, are deceived. And Paul is warning about the deception that would go on. Don't be deceived by these things. Don't be taken in by these kinds of things. And he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. Not only is Paul contending with Demetrius, the man, and his guild of silversmiths who want to ply their trade by selling these idols, but there's a more important thing going in here. It's not only the darkness of paganism, but it's the darkness of the occult that he's dealing with. These who are exercising and trying to cast out in the name of Jesus. And the demon itself said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I don't know you. What a testimony that what Paul was saying was right and what they were saying and practicing was wrong. And so again, in our text, Paul reminds the readers from Ephesus here, you were once darkness, now you are light, walk as children of light. And he goes on in verse 9, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And we know that light exposes darkness. Light dispels the darkness. So Paul is saying that we must, not only to the Ephesians, but he's saying to us, we must live in light and be light and walk as children of light. Go over with me to the Philippian letter, to the second chapter. And again, we're going to see the contrast here of needing to walk as children of light versus darkness. In contrast to the darkness of our day, the immorality and the dishonesty and everything that's going on, Paul says this, which is just as applicable to us today. He says in Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, Paul starts that not by saying shine as lights, but he starts by saying do all things without murmuring and disputing. How many of you have ever been to a retail store and you heard two of the employees arguing or talking about how bad it was to work there? You know what I'm talking about. You're going through the line and the cashier doesn't even acknowledge you. She's talking to the lady behind her and they're griping about the low pay and the terrible benefits and the working hours. Would you want to work there? No, you wouldn't. Now apply it to us today. If we are murmuring and disputing and grumbling and complaining about Christianity, who in the world would want to be a Christian? Shine as lights. Don't let people see that you're disgruntled with Christianity, because I guarantee you most of us are not. We're pretty happy about it. We have to be different, is what Paul is saying here. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. He's not saying we'll be perfect, but there will be nothing that can be assigned to our blame, like the qualification for an elder to be blameless. Why? Because we're forgiven. But let's don't go around grumbling it, because we do live in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation who needs Jesus Christ and the salvation that He can offer. And if we don't shine as lights, they're not going to get it. So we are obligated to live in the light. And we go back to our text there in Ephesians chapter 5. And we notice again, as Paul is talking about the unfruitful deeds of darkness. In verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is even shameful, he says, to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Most of us of my generation and older can remember when the word divorce was not spoken out loud, especially in front of children. And now it's just a common part of our vocabulary. As we were studying this morning in our Bible class, it is very common even amongst us in the church. And the divorce rate is about 50% in the world, and it's not far behind that with us. Well, do you suppose that our talking openly and honestly about these things have led to that? Well, I mean, openly, not, you know, speaking of these evil things. Do you suppose that maybe we have been part of the problem here? That rather than exposing the works of darkness, we have in some way excused these things by the way we've talked about them. Well, you know, old so-and-so and so-and-so, they got a divorce. Well, they just couldn't get along. That's a shame, but they're happier now. You see that? Instead of exposing the darkness, we've almost condoned it. And that might be true of several different things. So the Apostle Paul goes to Ephesus, and he is courageous in standing up against these things, and he doesn't back down, and he's willing to take the fight right to the devil. So we've got to not only refrain from the works of darkness, we've got to go on the attack through the preaching of the gospel and the light that we bear, that we reflect of Jesus Christ, will help us to do that. Well, look again in our text at verses 13 and 14, a little bit further than we went a while ago. He says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" And he's quoting there from the book of Isaiah. But I want you to think about that. We are to light the way to God. Everybody have their light? Let me see it. Adults, don't be ashamed. Put your light up. Put your light up. This little light of mine. Everybody got it? Everybody put your light up. Come on now. This is audience participation time. Take your other hand and do this. No! Don't do that. Let your light shine. I know sometimes it's tough and we get timid and we get shy. But folks, we've got to expose the darkness of this world with the light. Because everything, Paul says, becomes visible by the light. All things are exposed, that are exposed, are made manifest by the light. So, when you get up in the middle of the night and you're stumbling to the bathroom, and the clothes basket's been left in your path, where the laundry was put away, but the basket got left there, and you go sprawling all over the bathroom floor. If you had just turned the light on, it would have been exposed, you see. Or the kids' toys in the living room. You get up because you can't sleep, you're going to go watch some TV, and you stumble and step on the Legos. Yeah, Gary's done that. He knows, okay? The light would have exposed that evil, that darkness. Okay? Now, make the application. If you're trying to be in the darkness in this world and you don't have the light of Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? You're going to step on that Lego, which is going to make you scream and howl, and let's just pretend that it's an evil deed. It's darkness. And you've stepped on it. And at first you're shocked. But then what happens if you get allured by that thing? You've not exposed it with the light. And you think, man, if I get enough of these, I can build the Sears Tower out of Legos or something like that. But it's really darkness. You've stumbled upon it because you didn't expose it with light. Use your light. Let your light shine. Be a reflector of the light of Jesus Christ, who is the light. The light of the world, as we talked about earlier. So we've got to make these things visible with the light. And you know, this is maybe a difficult concept for us to grasp the way Paul is talking about here. He says, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Well, do we make them manifest? Is that what Paul is talking about? Or are we exposing them? It may be a little bit difficult for us to grasp exactly what Paul is talking about. He says, for whatever makes manifest is light. He sort of talks, as Paul sometimes does, in difficult ways to understand. But it's probably talking about if we expose the sin with the light, as we've suggested already, and we make it visible, it should help to lead people who are sinners away from that and to Jesus Christ. I think that's what he's driving at here. If we expose it with the light of the gospel and letting our light shine, other people can see it. And we should be able to see it with the exposure of the light. And we must convince those who were asleep, as he quotes from Isaiah chapter 60, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." If you'll get out of the darkness and be in the light and be light and put on Christ, then you can expose darkness as well, and you can get away from that sin and that darkness. So it's time to wake up. It's time for us to help people to wake up. And you know, this is really why we have been saved, isn't it? Over in 1 Peter, in the second chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 9, notice the way Peter describes us here. He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are a chosen generation. We are a special people. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are to proclaim the praises of God and his Son Jesus, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we got to go around with our light shining, not hiding it under the bushel, under the basket. We have to proclaim the excellencies of God. How do we do that? Well, public preaching is one way. And it's been years since somebody came who was not a Christian and sat in a worship service where I preached that then obeyed the gospel. It's happened, and it does happen from time to time. And that's the model that we have, is that we preach the gospel. But you know what? Folks are just not lining up at the door to come in here and listen to me preach. So what are we going to do? Well, we're still going to preach because that's God's plan. How are we going to preach, though? Not everybody preaches, but yet everybody does preach. With this thing right here. With your light. You know that our influence on others is perhaps the greatest tool that we have. So remember that verse that talked about murmuring and complaining? Let's not do that. If you come to worship services and the song leading was terrible, don't talk about that at lunch in public, please. I'm not asking you to lie about it, but I'm asking you not to voice your opinion about that. If you come to the worship services and the guy that led the prayer, whether the first prayer or the closing prayer or the prayers at the table, and they just stumbled and fumbled all over their words and you couldn't understand what they were saying or what they were, you know, trying to communicate to you, don't complain about that at lunch. If you don't like the preaching, then talk to the elders. But I am doing my very dead level best to make sure that it comes right out of here. And if it doesn't, then I shouldn't be here. And the greenest preacher on the face of God's green earth, if he's got enough scripture in there, it's going to be worth hearing. No matter how eloquent a speaker he is, no matter how many years he's got in the pulpit work, no matter how polished he is, no matter how well he knows his Bible, no matter how well he organizes his outline, if it's containing the Word of God, it's worth hearing, friend. So, the real fact is, if you don't like the preaching, take it up with God. Because that's what we're doing. It's preaching like God wants us to. So, please, don't say derogatory things about the church, because those are nitpicky little things. We ought to be talking up the church, talking positively about the church and about Jesus Christ. But then there's one other thing I want you to consider, and that's in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And there at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 6. And what Paul is saying is, here's the way to show the way. He says, but God, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Indeed, God commanded the darkness out of the light. He said, let there be light, and there was. And it's shown in the hearts to give light. So he's not only is there an allusion there about the creation and the beginning of light, and we know that Jesus is light, he's saying God commanded light to shine out of darkness. That's us. We were once darkness, and we're exposing the darkness of sin. And he says he's commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let your light shine. Be lights in this dark world. Don't cover your light up. Let it shine. And you'll be surprised how many people will notice and will be exposed to the light of Jesus Christ. They'll see it in you. They'll see it in your actions and in your deeds, the way you live your life. And you'll be exposing darkness and introducing them to the light of Jesus Christ. Let's live as lights in this dark world. If you're not a Christian this evening, or you've wandered away as having been a child of God who has been sinning in their life, won't you come home? Won't you uncover your lamp and let it shine? Won't you live for Jesus? Be His reflector. And together, we'll all get home. Come now while we stand together and while we sing.